Ephesians 5, 6. It says, faith works by love. Look at the next verse, 25. And whenever you stand praying, how often?
Whenever.
That means always. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. If you have anything, doesn't matter what it is, forgive him. This is of the heart. And God says, when you come to me and worship me with your tithes and offerings, it's about our hearts. You want to want to. See, I want to tithe. I want to bring offerings. I want God's kingdom to advance. I want to smoke the enemy's kingdom. And it's going up in smoke, but how many, you know, when you think of the devil, you think of a little guy in a red suit with pitchfork and the tail and the horns. Those aren't horns. Those are knots. And I'm proud to say I've helped put some knots in his head. Because when I go to the Lord and I stand in faith, the devil don't like it. And when I say, no devil, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You'll not have my children. I'm putting knots in his head because, you see, he's trying to get my kids out there and kill them. John, Jesus said it. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm so glad he didn't leave it there. He said, but I'm come. What did he come for? That you might have and enjoy life. A few weeks back, the Lord showed me in the middle of the night. He said, if you're not enjoying life, listen to me, you're not in my will. You're out of the will of God if you're not enjoying life. Because Jesus came to give us that. See, religion has said, and even Christian churches have said, well, the most important thing is that we go to heaven. But if you go back and look at the beginning, God didn't create us to go to heaven. Read your Bible. He created Adam to have dominion on planet Earth, to represent heaven and to use his authority through man to make it look like heaven. So we got a job to do, don't we, church? I said, we got a job to do. If you haven't been attending discipleship class, it's not too late to jump in. Amen? We got room for more? We'll find another place if we outgrow that room, and it sounds like it's filling up quick. But you need to know your authority. You have been given authority. But if you don't know it, it's like I heard a story about one guy. He was just living in a shack, kind of like what Bob talked about. And he was coming to the end of his life. And actually, he died. And they found in his little shack behind this painting, there was something there that showed him he was an heir to extreme wealth. But he didn't know it. He didn't know it. And so it never helped him in his life to do the things God called him to do. He stayed poor because of ignorance, because he didn't know. Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge, whoo. We're in Hollywood now. A lack of knowledge will keep you down. A lack of knowledge will keep you down. See, the devil wants to keep you in a lack of knowledge. God wants you to know the deep and secret things of him. You say, oh, how could I know those? By the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. He wants you to know them. He wants you. Some of you don't look like you believe in me here. Let's go to Ephesians. Is this okay? It's not my notes, but you know what? Ephesians 3? Well, this is good. I think Colossians is where I want to go too. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, that you might be able to comprehend. That means understand. With all the saints. How many here is a saint? If you're born again, you're a saint. Okay? what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you think you'd know some things if you were filled with the fullness of God? Now you are, but you say, I don't know what they are. That's because they're inside of you. They're in your spirit. When you got born again, you were made perfect. The you, your spirit man. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind and our will and our emotions, our soulish realm. And then we live in an earth suit, a body. When you go to a funeral, you see, you know, John Jones. And, you know, you say, that's dead John Jones. Well, that's really not dead John Jones. That's his body. John Jones left. He went on. And he either went on to heaven or he went on to be separated from God. He's in hell. But God here, he wants us to know that we've been filled with the fullness of God. So how do we, Pastor, how do we get those things out? There's several ways you can get them out. One, by praying in the Spirit. But another one, by living these fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. By reflecting those things in every situation, I'm going to be kind in this situation. My flesh wants to lash out and smack somebody, but I'm going to be kind. That's reflecting the nature of God. That brings the power of God on the scene. It's the power of God that will help you, because in our own flesh, we're not capable of walking this walk the way God wants us to. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. And as I mentioned earlier, faith works by love. So that's number one, getting our love walk. Now I know why, when I was praying in my office before the service, love just kept coming back up. I didn't know why. It was for right now to tell you. Faith works by love. Because today's message, I'm going to be talking a little bit about faith. But it's not just about faith to get things done with our own agenda. It's to do the will of the Lord and do them His way. You see, you can do things for God your way, and that amounts to nothing, just to let you know. You could be serving, you know, at the local church, and you could be serving your heart out, but if you're not doing it for the Lord, it's in vain, and that work... So we're going to come to the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be tried. And if the heart is wrong, it's burned up. You should be glad I'm telling you this, because you should check your heart. You should check the motive of your heart every time you open your mouth, every time you do something. It does take faith to walk this life and walk it honoring God. It's easy to lash out at somebody. It's easy to cut somebody down. It's easy to hurt somebody's feelings. So I won't tell you, accept Jesus and everything's going to be easy for you. No, it's going to be a life that you're going to have to constantly renew your mind to the Word of God, and then be a doer, like James said. It's not enough that you just get that knowledge. You have to now do something about that knowledge. That's why you need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to receive Jesus if you want to come into God's kingdom, if you want to be a child of God. You see, not everybody on the planet are God's children. Some people get confused about that, but the Bible is very clear: only to those that call on the name of the Lord. The rest of them aren't His children. Jesus talked great lengths about to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It says, you're of your father, the devil. You're the devil's kids. Well, that went over real good. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that doesn't work inside of us. No, according to the power that works inside of us. See, you need the supernatural power of God to love somebody that's unlovely. You need the supernatural power of God to be kind to somebody when they've been cutting you down. You get to work and you find out there's rumors going around about you. You are ticked. You are mad. You're going to go take this person out back and let them know who's who. No, you need to give it to the Lord. You need to love them. You know what the best thing for you to do that day? What the Lord says to do, but buy them lunch. That'll freak them out. Send them something that shows up at their desk and say, just thinking of you, just thanking you for being a friend when they've been lying about you behind your back. Tears will come to their eyes because that's the power of love. We can't do it in our own strength. We don't want to do it. That's the thing. Our flesh don't want to do what's right. That's why only 1/3 of us so far is perfect. We're still working on the rest. We're still working on our soulish realm of whether we should we do something nice for them, or should we show up out back after work when it's dark and or let the air out of their tires, or you'll think of a million things to get back. I'm talking about Christians. I just want to get back at them. No, you don't. You don't. Your flesh does. You would be grieved after you do that. Well, your flesh would say, yeah, I like that. I got back at them. Now they got flat tires and they're not making it home for a while. And you're gloating in it and everything. And I'll just share something. I was in 8th grade and had a history teacher. And he was young. I didn't realize how young he was. I was in 8th grade. He was in his 20s. And he thought he had a good sense of humor. And I thought most of his jokes were lame. And he would always tell jokes in class. It's like they were just lame. So at the end of the school year, we had a chance to evaluate our teacher. Anybody ever had opportunity to do that? And you could write it down. And you don't have to put your name on it. So I let him have it. I said, your jokes were lame. I said, you should get yourself a joke book if you want to tell jokes in school. I just let him have it. Well, I'm in 8th grade. I'm 14. Don't make fun of me. You're watching my mother's face. Where was I? Oh, I'm just letting him have it. But I didn't have to put my name on it. So I felt, man, I can just let him have it. Well, I didn't realize that, you know, you got 6 desks and 5 across, and he collects them. He knows who's written which one. I didn't know that. So the next day, the next morning in school, he was very sad. It was because of me. So he's talking about me. Doesn't say my name. I'm like shrinking under the seat. And I felt bad about that for a long time. Interestingly, that was the year I got saved. I got saved in March, and this would have been June. I'm a good Christian. So anyway, the short of it is, it bothered me for many years. I'm talking about many years. And I met up with him. I was in my 40s at the time. And I apologized. He didn't even remember it. But it had been eating at me all this time. And of course, I'm growing in the Lord. And so now, you know, and I didn't even know where he was. He wasn't even in Laconia anymore. And so I apologized, and he didn't remember it, and, you know, oh, no big deal. But I had to get that off me. You know, that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about, is confessing your sins so you can get it off you. You're not asking Jesus or God to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. But it'll eat you up. And so anyway, later on, now I'm in my 50s, I met him again over at Planet Fitness. And we struck up a conversation. about God and about what does it mean to be a Christian. And right there at Planet Fitness, I led him to the Lord. But that young teacher, I hurt his feelings. And I'm not sure why I even told you that story. But I did. Forgiveness, yeah. Forgiveness. You can do it. See, I was growing in the Lord. It took a lot of years, though. And I was able to tell him that time I was sorry, but then look how God brought it around and gave me an opportunity. Little did I know as a 14-year-old 8th grade history student that someday I would be leading my teacher to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're all, and that was before I wasn't a preacher, I wasn't a pastor. I was just a believer that knew my Savior. And the Spirit of God gave me that power. See, it wasn't my own power that was able to do that. It was the power of the Spirit of God that lives inside of me. But you have to yield to Him. He won't force Himself on you. He won't make you go talk to somebody. But you know what? When you decide to, He'll be there with you and give you the words. Amen. But Pastor, I don't know what to say. You don't have to. You take. See, that's walking by faith. That's walking by faith. And the Spirit of God. Don't you know the Spirit of God wants you to say the right thing? Don't worry about, well, I've heard people say, well, I don't want to embarrass Jesus. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're not going to embarrass Jesus. And you need to get over self-embarrassment. I've been ridiculed up and down for 30 years or more since I began to walk by faith. The Bible says, you start following God, you're going to be persecuted. Do you like it? No, but I'm in good company because they persecuted Jesus. He said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last scripture, I think it was the one I was looking for. Colossians, thank you, chapter 1. You can put that up there if you can find it. Colossians 1:9. You see, God knew that there's people here that need to hear what was just said. And I have to put my flesh down and say, but God, I worked so hard on this message. It's like I have to just go with the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthily of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're always increasing in the knowledge of something. And here Paul is saying, I want you to increase in the knowledge of God. The more you know God, the more you won't even want to do the things you used to do. If you're still struggling with a certain thing, you need to spend more time knowing God, the Father, knowing Jesus, the Son, knowing the Holy Spirit who's inside of you. When you know how good He is, those things that you did or said or the way you act, that will just fall off you like ripe cherries off a tree. And you won't want to. You don't have to try to do it. Oh, but I'm just struggling. I'm just struggling with this certain thing. You don't have to struggle. God doesn't want you to struggle. He wants you to give it to him. And when you give it to him, you ain't got it anymore. The devil wants you to keep it. The devil wants you to think that this is too hard. I can't get out of this situation. I just keep messing up too much. I just keep going back to that bottle. I just keep going back and smoking joint. If you're born again, God knows how to deliver you from that. He'll set you free from that. But you got to want to. You got to get the heart right. And I think we were receiving the offering, and we were talking about the heart. But God took us on a little path that brought out some things that some of you needed to hear. And I don't know what they are, and I don't want to know what they are. I got my own life, my own salvation to work out. And I'm here to guide you. I'm here to disciple you. I'm here to bring you the truth and then what you do with the truth. If you receive it, Jesus said, and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that will set you free. You don't have to try to do it in your own carnality, your own flesh, your own power. You'll never have the power of your own to do anything, to break any habit. You can't break habits by your own power. But the Spirit of God knows how to set you free. Tonight is healing and miracle service. Healing and miracle service. If you need a miracle in your life, come tonight. If you need healing, come tonight. Bring somebody else. There's so many people that are hurting, and we've got the answer. If somebody you know that's sick that can't get here, then you go to them. You go visit them. Oh, but Pastor, how could I do that? In the name of Jesus? Get three scriptures. Get two scriptures. Get one scripture. Know that that scripture is the truth and take it. Say, you know what? I don't know a whole lot about what to say in this situation, but here's what I know. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He doesn't want you to be in this situation. He doesn't want you to be sick. Jesus took those stripes that you might be healed. And you know what? I'm just giving you what could be somebody thinking. I don't know much else, but that's all you need. That's all you need. And when they see the sincerity of your heart, back to the heart, they'll receive it. And when they receive it, they'll get their miracle. It's that easy. It's not hard to get a miracle. Look at Mary. She's, what, but 15, 16 years old, they figure. She's just a child. Angel shows up, speaks to her. She's troubled about what he says. Not that there's this big angel in front of her. Most of us would be just like freaked out. She's like, wow, she pondered about what he said. But you know what? She had to believe it and she had to receive it. And she said, let it be done unto me as you have said. The angel came in the name of God and said, God told me to come and tell you this. She conceived her miracle. It wasn't hard for her. She just had to know that that was the truth. That angel was from God. So she had to make a belief that was so, and she did. Amen. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Friend, are you filled with the knowledge of his will? Do you know what the will of God is for your life? So many people struggle with that. I struggled with it. And so I asked him. I said, God, what is my place in this world? Michael W. Smith helped me to formulate the right question. It might be Snoop Doggy that gives you the right question to, I don't know. But I said, I got to find out. My daughter was there. And my son Kyle was there. I was so to speak, blown away by the answer. He spoke to me audibly and he says, I've called you to teach. I say, what? That wasn't the answer I wanted to hear. I mean, I wanted to be like a famous something, but that's what he called me to be. I can't be anything else. You can't be anything else but what God called you to be. And here's a little bit of godly wisdom. Be the best you that you can be. Because there's nobody else on the planet that ever lived or ever will live that was called to be you. God called you to be you. And he's wired you. Not one person on the planet that's ever lived. Check your fingerprints. They're all different. Even identical twins aren't identical. If that doesn't make you believe that there's a God, oh, wait a minute, I believe in the Big Bang. Really, just take a look at the human body and you look at it and understand how it works. I mean, I don't understand how gallbladders and all that stuff works, but he put it in there and he knows how it works. You didn't get a gallbladder out of a Big Bang out in space somewhere. You didn't get two ears and one mouth because of that. For just makes sense. If it was a Big Bang, you'd have had two mouths and one ear. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. You see, that's where we're going in the message today and as we move forward, that we might walk worthy of the Lord. Once you get born again, you need to find out what God's will for your life is. You'll struggle if you don't. I say it that the most happiest people on the planet would be Christians, but that's not an entirely true statement. It would be Christians that are in the will of God. Because I personally believe this, that the most miserable people on the planet are not unbelievers. I know a lot of unbelievers that are very happy. I know a lot of Christians that are out of the will of God that are miserable. I believe if you're not in the will of God, you're going to have a constant struggle, a constant feeling that I'm not doing what God's called me to do. So you need to seek who? Seek him. Pastor doesn't have the answer for your life. You have the answer inside of you. It's what God's already put inside of you. Trust me, you don't want me to cut you open. I don't see anything in here. And oh, we didn't use anesthesia. But God's wired you, and so you've got to seek the master planner that has put inside of you what's in there for you. There's never be another Steve Stafford, ever, ever. And there's a call on his life, and there's people that you've been called to, just like my history teacher. I didn't know, if you'd have told me in eighth grade that I was called to, I had just gotten saved. As a kid, I didn't even think I could talk to adults. But you see, you walk by faith this journey. And you increase in the knowledge of him. And he doesn't give you everything. Because if you did get everything, you'd turn around and bolt. See, God called me to teach. He didn't say I called you to pastor at that point. I'd have really bolted. I was already on the top of a mountain, so that was my mountaintop experience. But he said, teach. The week before, the Sunday before, they asked me at church if I would teach Sunday school. I said no, and I made up a bunch of stuff as to why I couldn't. So now he's telling me to teach. You see, you've got to speak to the Lord. Don't continue to be confused and just feeling inadequate. There's nobody in the body of Christ that's inadequate. Nobody. You are fully adequate. You are fully capable. You are fully empowered. You are fully equipped. Fully. Fully. Say fully. God, God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make junk. And we're made in his image even, in his likeness. And then he says, imitate him. Praise the Lord, that you might walk worthily of the Lord, fully pleasing him. See, until you find out the will of God for your life, you will never fully please him. He loves you. It has nothing to do with how much love he has for you. That can't be changed. You can't do anything bad enough to make God not love you. It's not that question. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I don't know where that, it's in here. I had some young ladies come into my office this morning. Brought me a, my wife doesn't even know this. She's not here. Brought me a bouquet of flowers, and it says, thinking of you in the card. Jesus loves you, and I do too. And then there's a scripture here. Those who want to do right more than anything else are happy because God will fully satisfy them. That made my day. That was doing something fully pleasing to the Lord. That was producing fruit. And you should have seen the smile on these two little girls that were carrying it in. They couldn't wait to get through the door. And I says, what's this? He says, it's for you. And they were so happy. Fully pleasing to the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. That was worth my coming today. No, we have fellowship after service. I encourage you to say nice things to people. Bring some nice words of encouragement. Say, hey, you're doing a great job. What you doing? You know our sound guy? He's filling in for Josh. Tell Josh that he does a good job. Instead of just telling him when you don't like the way it sounds. In any given service, there'll be somebody that says it's too loud. Same service. It wasn't loud enough. What's he to do? In his flesh, I know what he wants to do. But he doesn't. He faithfully serves. And he's got a day off enjoying the race down at the Speedway. We need to, yes, thank you. We need to love one another, friends, because we're family. We're family. And you know what? God's picked the family. I mean, even those that are in other churches, they're our family. You know, I see things from a pastor's perspective when I go to pastors' meetings and whatnot, and anytime a new church, I'm sure that people did not like it. I know people told me, what are you starting a church for? God told me to. Yeah, but we don't need another church. I said, go talk to him. I'm just being obedient. Trust me, if God doesn't tell you to start a church, do not start one. You will be miserable. Miserable. But anyway, there's jealousy. When those people go to my church. Here's the thing. You need to go where God has put you. If God hasn't put you here, you got to go. But if God's brought you here, then get planted and get busy about finding what he wants you to do to help build and edify the church. This isn't my church. I'm a representative of Jesus, and so are you. I just want you to help me to get her done. I mean, some people thought yesterday we were done and out of here. How many knew, thought that? Yes, Lord, come. But you know, we've still got a lot of work to do. We got people to reach. I believe there'll be people healed tonight that don't know the Lord that will get saved. Do the work producing fruit that brings people to a saving knowledge of God and the goodness of God, and let's work together. Stop being offended and, oh, well, pastor didn't ask me to do this, and he asked somebody else. You want to know what? I ask people to do things when God tells me to ask them to do them. I've learned not to try to do it on my own, because I'll just mess things up. And have there been frustrations? Absolutely, there's frustrations. How many have ever lived with a brother or a sister? How many can think of one time in your childhood life that you just wanted to smack your sibling? Upside the head, some of you did. My brother, who's not in here, he used to hit me. Pounded me in the arm. I had black and blues all the time. Till he got back from the military, and I grew like that much. And he said, who's this? And I had been lifting weights. I said, I'm tired of this. I love my brother. That man is so submitted unto me as his pastor. Brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it. And to think back to my childhood when I was the younger brother that got in the way. You know, he's 4 years older than me. 16-year-old don't want the 12-year-old hanging around. How many know what I'm talking about? But we're adults now, aren't we? Say yes. Well, there's a couple that aren't adults. But you will be. You will be. I like that hair. Kind of reminds me of a surfboard, but anyway. In a good way. In a good way. We got to get her done. What does that mean? We got to walk in love. We got to look for every moment and every opportunity to share God's goodness. We've got to stop being offended, stop being so petty about things that are said, things that are done, whether it be Christians or whether it be the world. You got to expect the world would be that way. So just get over it and love them in return. Look for a way this week, it's your assignment, to do an act of kindness to somebody that you've not ever done before. That's just for me. Now, if the Spirit of God tells you to do something different, you do what he tells you. I'm just trying to tell you, when you do something good for somebody, especially when they're coming at you, it does something by the power of God, and it makes the power of God powerful. That makes sense. It's called the power of God. But you can't say anything on your own that's going to do anything. It has to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Well, we were receiving our offering for the Lord. We still are. You know, I just want to thank the guys that keep coming out and helping over at the Labor of Love Project. Scott and John Morin, my goodness. This man just about lives over there. Maybe he wants to, I'm not sure. But we're out of the basement. We spent the summer in the basement. I guess not a bad place to be when it's hot, but we had to get that old girl up and solid, and she's solid now. I think you could take a Sherman tank in there now, and it would just... But it's a labor of love project. It's to bring glory to God. It's to bring glory to God.